The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas. Presented by U-Mobile.
Taiwan has been described as a pawn in U.S.-China relations, with other countries having to skirt geopolitical sensitivities when dealing with Taipei. Is there room in today's world for a greater Taiwan? This morning on The Breakfast Grill, we welcome the representative of the Taipei Economic and Cultural Office, James Chang. Good morning, Mr. Chang, and welcome to The Breakfast Grill.
Yes, good morning.
Let's begin with Taiwan's perspective of its place on the global stage. How does Taiwan negotiate a world where the current president of the United States may not appear as committed to the One China policy? What does that do for Taiwan's foreign policy?
Actually, Taiwan would like to maintain, or develop a relationship with other countries in every regard. So right now, I think Taiwan as the 18th largest economy in the world, certainly we can play a very important, position. And such as if you talk about international or regional organizations, particularly on economic side, recently we know the CPTPP just signed in Chile on March 8th. So for that CPTPP, Taiwan is so willing to join, also join as a new member of the CPTPP. Certainly, we know a lot of efforts need to be done, and we would like to, start our contact with the related countries, because we believe if Taiwan can join CPTPP, certainly Taiwan can not just share its own experience, but also make a good or better contribution to the region.
But from what I understand, Taiwan's participation in the CPTPP is predicated on the existing 11 members letting you in. While they can see the economic potential there of Taiwan's participation, they also have to manage those relationships with China. Now, China is the world's second largest economy, right? Certainly Malaysia's largest trading partner. Mm-hmm. So how sympathetic is Taiwan to the dilemma that these 11 other CPTPP countries face?
Yeah, I think joining the CPTPP is important to Taiwan. It is because the total trade value among the CPTPP countries reached, to my knowledge, $10.2 trillion, which is also occupied more than 13% of GDP of the entire world. And then it also covers about 25% of the total trade with Taiwan. Mm. So Taiwan, that's why Taiwan is eager to join CPTPP, because it will then bring a mutual benefit between Taiwan as well as the other 11 CPTPP countries.
Right. Going back to Taiwan's position in the world then, how does it manage relations with Beijing? Because your current president, Tsai Ing-wen, appears to be riding on this anti-China sentiment. So how does it manage relations with China while looking to join CPTPP, while looking to raise Taiwan's profile on the global stage? How do you find that balance?
Yeah, Taiwan is always seek for the win-win-win situation. And we believe that only you can maintain the stability and the peace in the region, then you can bring about prosperity. Mm. So Taiwan, as our President Tsai Ing-wen mentioned, she will try every effort to maintain the peace and the stability in the region. So we certainly, we will continue to work on this goal to further maintain the peace and the stability, which can meet the interest of everybody concerned.
Right, but sometimes some of these things are beyond Taiwan's control. For example, the U.S. passed the Taiwan Travel Bill, which forges closer ties between Taiwan and the States. U.S. officials can meet their counterparts from Taiwan and have those meetings, which obviously has incurred the wrath of China, right? So given these broader geopolitical movements beyond Taiwan's control, And some people point to Taiwan as a pawn when it comes to Sino-US relations, right? So how do you manage all these seemingly conflicting interests?
As I said, Taiwan is the world's 18th largest economy power. So Taiwan certainly will play some role in the world. For USA, we appreciate you know this act passed by the U.S. Congress. We sense it's like a goodwill from the United States.
All right, so what's better for Taiwan than maintaining the status quo, having some policy continuity, or asserting Taiwan's stature on the global stage?
Certainly, we like to expand our relationship with the world societies. I like to mention that for some international organizations, particularly on those functional organizations such as the WHO, World Health Organization, or you can say like the ICAO, International Civil Aviation Organization, or you can say the UNFCCC regarding the climate change. Mm. For these three, they all need the global cooperation. It's beyond the boundary, say. It's nothing to do with politics. So that is why for the WHO, every year on May, they will have the so-called WHA, World Health Assembly. We have continued join the WHA for so many years. So we like to, you know, if we can, you know, through the joint effort by our friendly nations. So Taiwan, like this year in Geneva, we can continue to send our Minister for Health. But I mentioned we joined, like before, the practice is Taiwan joined as an observer and using Chinese Taipei. We like to substantially participate in this organization. So Taiwan can not just, you know, share its experience, but also make a great contribution to the world, because regarding the medical issue, Taiwan is quite advanced. So we certainly can make a good contribution to the world society. So I mentioned these three organizations. That is our priorities.
Mm. Now, Mr. Chang, earlier you mentioned countries that are friendly to Taiwan, but that number appears to be dwindling because in June, Beijing won over Panama, formerly one of the fewer than two dozen countries that recognize the government of Taiwan. Now there are concerns that the Vatican or even Paraguay could also follow suit in moving away from recognizing the government of Taiwan. So how do you seek to establish these global goals while having Beijing seemingly undercut you then?
Taiwan now, I would say, is an entirely free and democratic country. So we share the common value regarding the democracy and freedom. So that's why we also mentioned we have a lot of friends, you know, friendly country in the world. But I
but
like
those
to
friends
say,
are getting fewer, though.
I like to mention that we have so many missions in this in the world. You know, like in Malaysia, and you also have your mission in Taiwan. Even though we do not have a diplomatic tie with the others, but I must say we enjoy so cordial and so close relationship between Taiwan and other countries, which even they do not have to make tie with Taiwan. For instance, if you like to mention, right now I'm in Malaysia. So if you talk about the Malaysia and Taiwan relationship, I must say currently we are adopting or promoting the new southbound policy. And in this regard, we're focusing on four pillars. Number one, the economic cooperation. And number two, the talent exchanges. And then number three, the resources sharing. And number four, the regional connectivity. So for Malaysia, there are more than 1,700 Taiwanese companies residing in Malaysia doing business since 1990s. But now for the new southbound policy, you know, we encourage more investment from Taiwan or from other places into Malaysia. And For the investment, we are the fourth largest investor to Malaysia. The total investment now reached more than $12.3 billion. And single year investment, like in 2016, it's about $110 million. But last year, we foresee it might be more than $300 million because we have two major investments occurred in this country, and one in Penang, one in Johor. These two, basically, they are already more than, I think, nearly $300 million.
And in speaking about the new southbound policy, we understand that there are 18 countries within Taiwan's sights, with six given a special focus, namely Philippines, Vietnam, Thailand, Indonesia, India, and of course, Malaysia. Why this six then? It appears that ASEAN plays a central role in Taiwan's new southbound policy.
Yes, the total New South policy, we are covering 18 countries, but and you are quite right, we have six measures, including five ASEAN countries and one India. For the five ASEAN countries, you just mentioned the Philippines, Vietnam, Thailand, Malaysia, and Indonesia. I think because the economy size, or historically, you know, like Malaysia, you know, maintain very, very close relationship with Taiwan. I just mentioned the investment, but if you talk about the trade, last year, we reached a historical high. The bilateral trade amount now, you know, it's more than $17.5 billion. Mm-hmm. It you know, it's more than the 2016 we had 14.1. So meaning we made the increase like $3.4 billion. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like 24.6%. Increase.
Now, well, in the second half, Mr. Chang will continue to discuss about trade. But one more question about the relations between Taiwan and China then. Although now there are heightened tensions between Taiwan and China, and Beijing, you know, may consider the current Taiwanese administration as a thorn in its side, yet at the same time, China also very recently has just opened its doors wider to Taiwanese investment. So Taiwan's companies now get to enjoy the same investment policies and tax benefits as their counterparts on the mainland, right? Key industries, energy, infrastructure, finance, etc. So how does the current Taiwanese administration reconcile what appears to be this pro-independence stance with China's overture for deeper economic ties with Taiwan? How do you balance out those two then? On one hand, pro-independence, on the other, perhaps reunification, at least in economic terms?
I think when, President Tsai Ing-wen, when she took the presidential office in 2016, she continued to mention that we will never change our goodwill and toward China. And the top priority for Taiwan is to maintain the peace and the stability. And President Tsai also mentioned for the maintenance of peace and stability needs the cross-strait, you know, both sides to work on it. Mm. So for Taiwan, certainly, you know, we always like to create a win-win-win situation. So if you talk about the economic issue, to my knowledge, we have so many Taiwanese doing business or investing in China. And how to maintain a better, you know, situation such as the status quo, the peace and stability, I think that's the number one issue for the two sides. Only you can maintain the peace and the stability. Then you can talk about the other, like the development or prosperity, you know, seeked by the people.
Coming up in just a bit, we'll take a closer look at ties between Taiwan and Malaysia. I'm speaking to James Chang, representative of the Taipei Economic and Cultural Office. You're tuned into The Breakfast Grill. Stay tuned.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Breakfast Grill. I am Tan Chung Han, and with me in the studio is James Chang, representative of the Taipei Economic and Cultural Office. Now, Mr. Chang, last year, Taiwan was Malaysia's seventh largest trading partner, like you mentioned earlier, accounting for over 4% of total trade, Malaysia's total trade. Which sectors do you think have been the biggest contributors to bilateral trade between Taiwan and Malaysia? I'm going to think it's E&E. Am I correct here?
Yeah. You are quite right. But I would say so many varieties in almost everything, like the medical devices, ICT, machinery, material, almost everything. A broaden area. You said, for the trade, I must say Taiwan now enjoy the seventh largest trading partner. We used to be number eight, but last year we made a historical high and 24.6% increased. Quite imagine, but I think it is because every party, every people, in different corners, you make a joint effort, so make the historical high for the trade. I just mentioned investment, we are the number four. And then I also like to mention, if you talk about the very, very highlight between Taiwan and Malaysia, that is the student. Right now, currently, we are having more than 17,000 Malaysian students study in Taiwan. Exact number is 17,079 students, also historical high. Last year, we made increase 1,028 students. They are studying every field, every. And we highly appreciate more than five decades, there are already more than 60,000 graduates returned to Malaysia. Yeah. I think they make a good contribution to this country, to the societies, and also play a very important role to connect Taiwan and Malaysia. And then if you talk about the tourism, which is also a very important part between Taiwan and Malaysia, last year we had more than, I think it's 528,000 Malaysian tourists to Taiwan. Also historical high. It's number one in ASEAN country. We made additional 54,000 tourists to Taiwan compared to the same period, compared to the year of 2016.
Yeah, and I have added to that number myself in recent weeks. I was a tourist to Taiwan recently as well. Mr. Chang, you highlight some key industries here, right? Tourism, education, trade, business, etc. How much of this is part of the new southbound policy? How much of this is done with the idea of extending Taiwan's soft power in the region?
Yes, the government Taiwan. I think we pulled for the 2018. We pulled about nearly 1 billion ringgit for the new southbound policy.
For Malaysia alone, or for the policy as a whole?
For the whole.
Ah, okay.
However, we mentioned Malaysia is one of the six majors. That means we will pull more resources to Malaysia. For instance, the scholarship, Taiwan scholarship, we used to provide 20 slots, but now we provide 35 slots, increase 75%. Each slot, if you say study in Taiwan for 4 years, bachelor degrees, then the entire tuition, the entire scholarship will make 15 ringgit. That means 150,000 ringgit. Cover your entire four-year study. Very good. And actually, right now, it's under application till the end of this month. So we welcome more Malaysian students. Come and contact my office.
To get those scholarships, huh?
Yes, okay. Yes. It's also very competitive with government scholarship.
Right. And speaking about things being competitive then, so what's Malaysia's edge when it comes to attracting Taiwanese investments or more scholarships? Compared against our neighbors, what's Malaysia's edge?
Yes. Malaysia, I think for the HALA industry is so important. So Taiwan last year, on May 26th, we formed we called the HALA Promotion Center. HALA Promotion Center. And not just doing business, but also like tourism. Imagine for Malaysia, you have 32 million people, but then you talk about AEC, you have like 620 million people. And then for Malaysia, it's so important regarding the HALA business industry. You have Jakim. So I would say Malaysia can be a very good gate or springboard for Taiwan to do business with the entire Muslim friends.
Mm.
That means 1.8 billion people in the world.
And so with Taiwan's bid to join the CPTPP, they have reaffirmed their intentions to do so. Do we have any timeline?
Yeah, right now, they just signed the agreement.
In Chile on March 8th.
And then each country will work on its own part. Like Malaysia, you know, they will like revise certain agreements. And once certain countries finish the procedures, and then they will sign and make the, the agreement be effective. So Taiwan, currently, we like to seek all efforts or support from the relative countries. So right now, we already shown our will, a strong will. We like to join because we believe it's economic. It will be good to every country's related. So we will continue to work on our part and also seek a further collaboration with the related countries.
This all comes amid heightened geopolitical tensions between the U.S., China, with Taiwan perhaps seen as being caught in between, right? So to wrap up this discussion here, how wary, how concerned should Taiwan's partners or these other countries be given these geopolitical tensions? What can you tell us to help them allay those concerns?
Yeah. Imagine I said Taiwan as the 18th largest economy in the world, and we have 23 million people, and we have a lot of advantages. If you talk about ICT, if you talk about e-commerce, if you talk about agriculture, aquaculture, if you talk about machinery, fine machinery, or if you talk about the creative product, Taiwan is quite, promising or potential. So in all these areas, Taiwan certainly like to, work together with other countries. So we can, as I said, to make a good contribution to the world. So think about Taiwan's advantage and think about Taiwan shared common value with the world. Certainly, we will continue to work our own part, but we also like to seek for more countries, collaboration with Taiwan.
Well, I certainly wish you all the best in your push with this new southbound policy. Keep that trade and scholarships coming our way, okay? That was James Chang, representative of the Taipei Economic and Cultural Office. I'm Tan Chung Han, and this is BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile, where data hearts you.